Off Across the Pond.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. In less than an hour, President Obama jets to London ahead of a big economic summit on Thursday. The group of 20 meeting actually includes bigwigs from more than 20 countries, and they're trying to get a handle on the global fallout. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us now from the British capital. Stephen, what is likely to come out of the G20?
One thing we're fairly certain will come out of this is a big increase in the amount of funding available for the International Monetary Fund to bail out the more vulnerable economies. That's pre-cooked, that's done and dusted, that apparently is going to happen. Of course, the main point of this summit originally, as it was originally conceived, was that it was going to unveil a whole series of global stimulus packages around the world that would really kickstart the global economy, stave off recession and depression. It does look increasingly unlikely that's going to happen. However, there have been deep disagreements. The Americans and the Brits have been all in favour of extra public spending to stimulate the economies. But the Germans, the French and the Chinese have said no way. So, according to Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank, a new global stimulus package is highly unlikely.
There will be some wording in the communique which will commit everyone to do what's appropriate and to take fiscal stimulus measures where it's appropriate. But that won't be particularly meaningful because it won't be binding.
Now, the other major strand of this summit, of course, is the whole debate about regulation. How can we tighten up financial market regulation to ensure we don't have the kind of abuses that led to the credit crunch that precipitated the economic downturn? Unfortunately, on that front, too, very little agreement. And it does look as if the kind of regulation that some people are calling for will not materialize.
And why is that, Stephen?
Well, simply, again, too many disagreements. The Americans and the Brits and other so-called Anglo-Saxon economies prefer a lighter regulatory touch, whereas in particular the continental European countries like France and Germany want much tougher regulation. It is reported that the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, is threatening to walk out of the summit if he doesn't get what he's been calling for, a global financial regulator. Well, that's not going to happen because the US and the Brits are vehemently opposed.
Okay. Stephen Beard joining us from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Steve.
And investors are looking for bits of positive news ahead of the G20. European shares are trading higher today. London's FTSE is up nearly 3%. Asian markets mixed. The Nikkei lost 1.5%. The Hang Seng was up. The Dow shed more than 250 points yesterday to close at 75.22. NASDAQ and S&P shares fell 3 and 3.5%. Futures pointing to some gains today ahead of some economic data coming out. Case-Shiller's January home price index and consumer confidence numbers are expected. And the latest ABC News Washington Post poll shows the number of people believing the country's going in the right direction has nearly tripled since December. I'm going to go out on a limb and say there will be one very popular iPhone app today. Skype, the people who brought us internet voice and video calls, is introducing that application that could make for some interesting connections. Keyword is could. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
There's one big drawback. You won't be able to walk down the street while chatting via Skype with your friend in Bangladesh. The application will only allow you to make Skype calls while you're within range of a wireless internet connection. Here's Skype's Brian O'Shaughnessy.
The restrictions that Apple and the carrier that they're partnered with now have placed over Skype need to be worked out, and that hopefully will be worked out in the future.
But for now, Skype sees mobile devices as the central path to expansion, especially in emerging markets.
The vast majority of people who are experiencing the internet are experiencing it on their handheld device now. So we believe that the opportunity for Skype is obviously massive.
Even if it turns into a headache for mobile carriers like AT&T. After all, if users can make calls on their phones without using airtime minutes, what's in it for the carrier? Skype plans to offer a similar service for BlackBerry users in May. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Parents and students are thinking college right now, but in this economic fallout, that decision is causing some anxiety for parents who are looking for deals and for four-year schools, which are seeing smaller community colleges competing for dollars. Here's Emily Hanford of American Radio Works.
Kathy Moore is a counselor at Blake High School in suburban Maryland. As the price of college shot up over the past decade, she received more and more glossy brochures in the mail. Schools touting new athletic facilities, dorms with private bathrooms, fancy campus centers.
This is all glitz. But let's face it, our generation is used to all this.
They might need to start getting used to something else. Sekou Ba's an example. He started out at a four-year school in Pennsylvania. He had financial aid, but still had to borrow about $12,000. Watching the economy melt down last fall, he got nervous about graduating with lots of debt. So he transferred to a community college.
I mean, college is worth it. My parents have always told me education is the most important thing. But when colleges get ridiculous, I don't think it's worth it, because you can get the same education somewhere else for way cheaper.
Ba now takes a full load of classes at Montgomery College in Maryland, where tuition is less than $4,000 a year. And he likes it. The community college doesn't keep track of how many students transfer from four-year schools, but enrollment is up nearly 10%, and officials expect even more students in the fall. And this has expensive private colleges feeling nervous.
Why should I send my child to your school when there's a public institution down the road that costs a lot less?
This is a question Mary Ellen Duffy gets a lot these days. She's director of financial aid at Albright College, a small liberal arts school in Reading, Pennsylvania. Tuition, room, and board add up to about $40,000 a year. To keep students coming, Albright has always had to offer a lot of financial aid. And next year, they're offering even more, and freezing staff and faculty salaries to do it. I'm Emily Hanford for Marketplace.
Hey, today on Marketplace, Emily explores how some students are rethinking their college plans in light of the fallout. Hope you can join us then. Thanks for joining us now. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.